turn to the passage of God's word that we read, Paul's letter to the Philippians, if it is that you have your Bibles in hand at home, or maybe in your telephone or your tablet, it is that you're able to read there, Philippians chapter 4. And I want us this evening, with God's help, to consider the words that we find in verse 6, where Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Our focus this morning was on God and what God is able to do, and our focus this evening is on what we are able to do because of who God is and what God will provide for us. So we read, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now, 500 years ago, there was a French philosopher under the name of Michel de Montaigne, and it is that he really thereafter became the philosopher of philosophers. It is that when you read the works of the great philosophers thereafter and up on into the 20th century, that many of them speak of the fact that what stirred them and what directed them were some of the writings of this Michel de Montaigne. And one of the things that he wrote, I think, is very applicable, even though 5 centuries since he wrote it, and it's applicable to each one of us tonight. Let me quote what it is that he wrote. He wrote, "My life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which never happened." Let me say it again. "My life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which never happened." Now, while it is that Michel wrote these things, it is that there's a modern-day study to prove what it is that he wrote 5 centuries ago. And this was a study that was conducted to consider how many of our imagined calamities, the things that we worry about, the things that concern us, how at the end of the day, they've never materialized. And it is that we've caused ourselves so much concern for things that basically had no substance to them. And the research, it revealed some interesting results. Things that would concern us and calamities that never materialized, it is that 40% of them never happen. Then they said that 30% of these calamities concern the past, 12% are needless worries about health, and 10% are about petty issues. So therefore, it's the case that only 8% of things that concern us are legitimate concerns. So basically what it's saying, if we turn it around, it is that 92% of the time that you worry, that really what it is that you're doing is wasting your energy. And that's why it's good, I think, to turn to this passage of God's word in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. For it is that we find here the apostle. I was saying before we read the chapter that there's a golden thread of joy that runs through this letter to the Philippians. But also it is that Paul himself, I think, here instructs us and teaches us how when we find ourselves in difficulties, and particularly difficulties that bear in upon us at an individual as well as a national level, that there is something that we must do. And that thing that we must do with God's help is this: not to be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. Well, let's be honest. Whether it is you're in the pulpit, you're in the pew, or whether you're in your own homes this evening, all of us, I think, in various degrees, struggle with anxieties of one sort or another. When it is that we consider our own day and age, it's a time when anxiety is something that we've come to accept as a fact of life. Indeed, it's often considered that if we don't have worries, we don't have anxieties, then it is that there's something wrong with us. But to think like this is a mistake, and particularly for those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason it's a mistake is because when we're anxious, it's something that impedes Christian progress. When it is that we're anxious, very often it is that we take our eyes from off Christ, and it is that we begin to focus on what seems to be producing the anxiety within our life. Therefore, it is it naturally follows that any growth that we have known up until that point, that it is that that growth stops, and we don't grow in grace and in Christ's likeness as perhaps we have been doing in recent weeks. And I think it's for that reason that Paul then, through the Spirit, admonishes us and says, "Do not be anxious about anything." It is that the natural man would reply to Paul and say, "Are you kidding me, Paul? Surely you don't mean that there's nothing within life, even if you're a Christian or not a Christian, that's worth being anxious about." Well, the thing that I think we've got to consider, first of all, to try and answer this, is that we've got to be careful to make a distinction between being anxious and being concerned. And it is that we need to consider how worry differs to concern itself. When it is that we read the word that's used here when Paul speaks about being anxious, it's a word that literally means to be pulled in different directions. For example, perhaps it is that our hopes in recent days have pulled us in one direction, but now it is, as we find ourselves in lockdown and having to face a COVID, it is that our fears pull us in another direction. So to be anxious, and to be anxious at a time like this, is to be pulled apart. And how many people throughout our city this night, that's what characterizes them. But also when you consider the synonym for the word anxious, the word worry, in terms of its origins with regard to Old English, it presents a different picture, and yet I think a very enlightening picture. It is that the word worry in Old English comes from the word meaning to strangle. And if you've ever really worried about something, then you yourself know how worry does indeed strangle you in so many ways. It is that worry can strangle us physically. It can strangle us mentally. It can strangle us in ways that we come to the point where we feel that life is not worth living. It is that it can affect our digestive systems and even our coordination and our thought processes. And so it is that worry, it's not a genuine concern about someone or something. It is that certainly there's a place for godly concern about ourselves, about others, and about our circumstances, for it is on the basis of concern that we are enabled to show our interest and our love and care for those whom we live amongst. And it is that when we're concerned, we desire to fulfill our responsibility to God and to others. Think of what Paul wrote elsewhere when he wrote to the church in Corinth and said, "And apart from other things, there is a daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches." He was concerned about what was happening in the churches that he himself had ministered to and in many cases had started off from the ground. What about in terms of the church in Philippi? If you go back to chapter 2 and verse 28, Paul says this, "I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious." So the sending of someone, the fellowship of someone, the ability to have a relationship with someone, Paul had a concern that that would belong to the Philippians. And then concerning our families, think of what he writes as an old man in 1 Timothy chapter 5. "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." And what Paul is saying to us here is that we are to be concerned as God's people to fulfill all the responsibilities that bear upon us in this life. And scripturally, the way in which it is that we are to do this is that we are called as God's people to do all we can to solve the various problems that come our way. But ultimately, we need to remember that the future, and even our future, is that which belongs to God himself. Or let me put it like this. We can only do so much. We can only do so much in terms of our fleshliness, in terms of our strengths and our weaknesses and so on. And when it is that we've done what we have been enabled to do, it is that then we must place the situation and the things that we're not able to take on board, we must place these things in God's hands. Someone has written and said, "The beginning of worry is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of worry." And that, I think, is the challenge for us tonight, particularly as we find ourselves at this moment in time, that it is that we might exercise true faith in the promises of God, true faith in God's word, true faith in the fact that we uphold one another at the throne of grace and that we are bearing one another's burdens at this time. And it is that when we exercise that true faith, then what naturally follows is that the worries begin to dissipate. You see, when we're commanded not to worry, doesn't mean that we're not to plan ahead. But it is that we're always to remember that the future is always in God's hands and not ours. So what does that mean then? Well, it means that we need to have a heavenly perspective. It means that we need to have an eternal perspective. It means that we need to have a perspective of the God who is sovereign and the God who does all things well for his glory and for the good of his people. It means that we need to have the perspective of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church at Rome in chapter 8, and it is that he says there that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are trusting in Jesus Christ. And the amazing thing there is that when Paul says all things, he's not just talking about positive things. He's not just talking about good things, nice things. But it is that he's talking about negative things, dark things, difficult things, things that even in our moment in time that are making life very difficult for us nationally and indeed even as individuals in this world. And it is that we have to have that godlike perspective where we are able to say that all things in my life, in the life of my loved ones, in the life of my nation, all things are working together for good for those who love Jesus Christ. But the difficulty that I think faces us is that we often allow our concern to pass the limit, that we often allow our concern to escalate to harmful anxiety. So if that's the way with us tonight, what is it that we need to do? Well, the first thing I think is this, that we need to acknowledge the problem. We need to acknowledge the problem. That's what Paul is doing here in verse 6 when it is that he writes, "Do not be anxious about anything." In other words, there's a problem in your life and there's a possibility that it is that it'll produce anxiety within you, and it is that you'll take your faith of the God who is in control of all things. So the question then for us is, how is it that we know that when we've crossed over the line from concern to anxiety? Well, I think there are certain things that we can take on board with us each day. One thing is, when you're concerned, are you driven to read God's word for direction? Or is reading God's word the furthest thing from your mind? If it is that you're driven to read God's word for direction, then I think you have a healthy concern. But if it is that you're driven to such an extent that the Bible is the furthest thing from your mind, then it is that I think you've crossed over from concern to anxiety. Or what about in terms of the matter of prayer? When you're concerned, when there are problems in your life, are you driven to pray? Or do you find yourself going this to this place and that one, seeking advice and direction? And again, I think it is that if truly what is in your experience is concern, that one of the places that you will be found in is in the place and the posture of prayer, that it is that you'll be calling on your Father who dwells in heaven, that the one who himself has known you from before the beginning of time itself, the one who himself has decreed the exact moment of your conception and the exact moment when it is that you must depart this scene of time, the one who himself has promised us in Jesus that he will not leave us nor forsake us, but is with us even until the end of the age. But when it is that you begin to look to others, when it is that you begin to look to men, when it is that you begin to look to theories of one sort or another, that I think is a warning to us that we have moved from concern and it is that we have passed to anxiety. And you see, Paul is saying to us here, don't be anxious about anything. But the world would say to us tonight, what does this man know? How is it that he's able to write and say, don't be anxious about anything? Indeed, some, if you're looking on tonight from other parts of the world, you may be looking at your circumstances as I'm preaching, and maybe it is that you're saying to yourself, well, I've got very good reasons to be anxious this night. I've got very good reason to take what you're saying and to cast it aside. Maybe it is that you're anxious over your own serious health problems. It is that there have been difficulties experienced by someone that you love. Maybe it is that tonight there's someone who's facing difficulties in their marriage, and it is that they know that their marriage is at the point of implosion, and they're concerned, not only concerned, but they're driven to their wits' end concerning this. Or perhaps for some of us tonight, it is that we've got anxiety concerning our children. We sought to bring them up in the things of the faith. We sought to point them by our example and our teaching to the person of Christ. Yet what we're finding at the moment is that their eyes, rather than being fixed in the face of Jesus, it is that their eyes are fixed and transfixed on the things of the world, the philosophies and the ideas of the world, and it is that the world just seems to be consuming them at this time. So you say to me, even as a Christian, how then can the Apostle Paul say, don't be anxious about anything? Well, you see, I may not be qualified myself to tell you why, but the apostle himself is certainly qualified to tell you why it is that he is able to say, don't be anxious about anything. Remember, first of all, that he's writing this letter from a prison cell. It is that he says there in chapter 1 and in verse 13, he says, it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Paul saw his imprisonment as an opportunity for witness, that it is that the grace and the power of God might be made manifest even to his jailers and to those of Roman society. It's the imprisoned Paul who would be executed imminently, and it is that he's able to write and say, be anxious for nothing. But imprisonment, in a sense, is just the tip of the iceberg in the experience of the Apostle Paul. You remember what he writes in his second letter to the Corinthians, and he writes this. He says, are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods, 1 I was stoned, 3 I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. And this is the man who says to us in God's word tonight, don't be anxious about anything. I want you to consider something of what my experience as a man of God has been. And when it is that we read through this list, it almost comes to the point where it is that we're saying, Paul, stop there. We can't cope with something of the vicissitudes that have been yours as you have sought to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet it is that in spite of this, the apostle says to you tonight, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. Turn away from having sleepless nights. Turn away from the wilderness that has been yours, perhaps in your mind, in recent days. Turn away from those whom you think have an anger towards you. And then as he writes later on in verse 11, he says, I have learned in whatsoever situation I am in to be content. And if it is that the Apostle Paul had to learn things, how much more then do we need to learn from his example? Learning at times is difficult. Learning at times isn't easy. Even today, as we've sought to stream our worship services, it is that Jim and Tim have had to learn certain things, so it is that this might be possible. And it is that we're thankful to God for the wonders of modern technology and for the gifts and talents that God has given to them, enabling us to meet like this on the internet. But is there somebody tonight and you're finding learning difficult? You're finding that God's way has not been the way that you expected it would turn out. My friend, listen to Paul. I have learned in whatever situation, not just the good things, but even the bad things, I have learned to be content. Think of another example in the Old Testament. And it is that you've got Joseph. And how it is that he was sold by his brothers and became a slave. How it is that there were false charges brought against him by Potiphar's wife. How it is that he languished in an Egyptian prison cell. And it's almost as though that God had forgotten him. And if there was anybody in a situation who could be able to turn around and say, that's it, turning my back on God. I'm not looking to him. I'm not crying out to him. And yet, what is it that we find later on? That he's become second to Pharaoh himself, the most powerful man apart from Pharaoh in the whole of Egypt. When it is that his brothers come into his presence and when he reveals himself to them, what does he say? He says these marvelous words. He says, what you did to me those many years ago. He says, you intended it for harm. He doesn't deny the badness that was theirs. But he says, well, you intended it for harm. God intended it for good. And he was another example of somebody who had learned in whatever situation he was in to be content. So what about us then tonight? Do you know for certain what's going to happen over the next days and weeks? Do we know for certain how often it is that we'll need to meet like this, streaming our services, Lord's Day by Lord's Day? The answer, of course, is no. Can worrying about these things, can worrying about COVID, whether we're going to ourselves contract COVID-19 or not, will that stop it or will that change it? And the answer we know is no. What about even the horrendous thought that maybe it is that in coming days we will come to the point that we must depart this scene of time? What is it that the apostle says to the Philippians in this letter? It is that he reminds them that to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And that's why it is therefore that in every situation, as he considered his eternal destiny, Paul was able to say truly from his heart, I've learned in whatever situation I'm in that I can be content. Therefore, that's why it is that I say to you, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Now, not only does Paul say this to us, but we know that the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says this to us as well. In Matthew 6, we find Jesus, as he preaches this sermon, that he condemns worry. He says to us that worry is foolish, that worry reveals a lack of confidence in the person of God, the character of God, and the ability of God. And listen to what Jesus says. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, not about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And then listen to what he says. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. What's Jesus saying here? I think he's saying at least three things. And he tells us in three ways why worry is wrong. Worry is wrong in terms of our focus. It is that when we worry, it puts our focus on wrong issues. Jesus said, is life not more important than food? When it is that we worry, our perspective gets skewed. It's been tragic that in various parts of the world, the hoarding that has begun to take place, the raiding of supermarket shelves, it is that I saw a picture of a nurse crying in a supermarket aisle. She herself had been working that day in a situation where she was dealing with patients who had COVID-19. Now she's on her way home, and she's seeking something for her evening meal. And when it is that she goes to the supermarket and to the supermarket shelf, there's nothing there. And she starts to cry. And it is that even at this time, again, we're seeing how greedy man is in and of himself. It is that we focus on things that are secondary, and in the process, we begin to lose sight of what's really important and what it is that we should be considering. You see, why is it that we worry about molehills? Rather, we worry about mountains, when really it is that there are molehills before us. Worry distorts our thinking. So Jesus says, worry causes us to lose focus. Not only that, but secondly, Jesus, I think, is saying to us that it leads to failure. What do I mean by that? Well, it is that it leads to failure in terms of our sight and in terms of our perception of who it is that we belong to as men and women and young people of faith. Jesus is telling us here in a most beautiful and pastoral way that the God of creation, that he cares for the birds that he's created, that he cares for the flowers that he causes to grow up, that he cares for the animals that he's created. How often we were thinking on Martin Luther this morning. When you read something of Luther's works, it seems that Luther, he tells us, often liked to talk about the birds, and he often liked to talk about the way that God cared for the birds. And Luther tells us that when he was full of anxieties, that he used to constantly envy the birds that he would see outside. And the reason for his envy was they didn't seem to have any worries. They led a free and a happy life for the creatures that they were. And Luther, charmingly, I think, talks of Dr. Sparrow and Dr. Thrush, and he talks about all the other doctors amongst the kingdom of the birds, and how it is that they used to come and talk to Dr. Luther, and it is that they would tell the great theologian many good things. And through what it was that they said, even by their hopping in his presence and as they're looking for food, it is that they're speaking profoundly and powerfully to the great reformer, and he's being reminded of what Jesus said. Are you not more valuable than the birds? They're fed. Your Father in heaven takes care of them. If it is that he takes care of them, how much more precious are you in his sight? And when it is that we're anxious and we're worrying, we're showing that we think that we're less important to God than even the birds of the air. Jesus is telling us simply that God knows what we need. Jesus is telling you tonight that at this point in time in 2020, and when it is that the world literally has been brought to its knees and in so many ways, Jesus is saying to you, don't worry. God will take care of you. If it is that you would just focus on God, and it is that your perspective might be a biblical perspective. And because God knows what we need, he'll take care of his children. So in terms of the problem of worry, it puts focus on wrong issues, it produces failure, and the third thing is there's fruitless activity. Fruitless activity. Jesus said in Matthew 6, who by worry can add a single hour to his life? The truth is, if you're a worrier, you're probably taking hours of your life rather than adding to your life. Worry is wasted energy. There's nothing productive about worry. It leads nowhere fast, and it hinders us rather than helps us. It paralyzes us rather than energizing us, and it robs us of energy and often has very negative effects. Think of it even in terms of the health of men and women. How many tonight are troubled by ulcers, and it's because of worry? What about blood pressure? It's high. It's because of worry. What about heart problems? How many come to the point when their hearts pack in and they die, and it's been because of stress and worry? What about headaches of one sort or another? And so often it's because of worry. What about the fact that when we don't sleep well because of worry, we don't get enough rest, and they're finding out more and more how important it is that we have a good quality of sleep each night that God gives to us. And it is that when we don't have sleep as good as it should be, we become irritable, not only to ourselves, but to those round about us, and we begin to see only the clouds on a sunny day. That's what happens. Worry stops us from addressing the issues we can and should be doing something about. It paralyzes us. Think of what Jesus said in John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Now think, and when he spoke those words, he spoke those words before the crucifixion, before it was that he would bear the sin of the world, before it was when his blood would be shed, when he would be mocked and humiliated, when it is that he looked into the cup in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it is that he shuddered and he said, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but your will be done. And so if you're worrying tonight, Christ is able to comfort you and give you his peace. And you see, as we acknowledge the problem, Paul enables us then to absorb the plan. And I'm just finishing with this, with seed thoughts. Look at what Paul says. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That's Paul's prescription for those of us who worry. Tonight's sermon is entitled God's Vaccine. And we know that they're telling us that it's probably at least 18 months to 2 years before they'll be able to produce a vaccine that will deal with the COVID-19 virus. But in terms of the worry that's ours, there's a ready-made divine vaccine that we are able to take use and make use of every day that God gives to us. And what is it? It's the vaccine of prayer. Coming to God in prayer. Combating worry by prayer. And indeed, acknowledging that God is the God who hears and answers our prayers. We'll leave it there this evening. But I know that we're praying, as many others are praying, that the scientists and the medical people of our day, that they might be given wisdom by God to produce a vaccine. But as you would be tempted to worry about what the days ahead hold, take and use the vaccine of prayer. And may it be that you might know, as Paul was to write in the next verse, that you would know of the peace that transcends all understanding to guard your heart and mind in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, it is that each one of us knows only too well through our lives there have been moments, there have been situations, there have been even individuals, as they have come into our life, that the reaction from us has been a reaction of worry and anxiety. And we know only too well, Father, that this is not good for us, and particularly if it is that we are your own this night. Jesus himself calls on us and tells us not to worry, that worry is a sin. And yet it's something that we consider so lightly. And often we'll say, oh, well, that's the way my mother was. That's the way my father was. And I'm just like them. Lord, help us to be kept from such reasoning. And help us to have biblical reasoning on the basis of the Word of God. And that indeed that we might know assuredly what Paul says to the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 7, that we can know the peace of God even in the midst of situations whereby the world is collapsing, that we can know your peace that transcends all understanding. So, Lord, we pray, therefore, that whatever the week ahead holds for us, in terms of our city, our nation, the world, in terms of our own family circumstances, we pray, Father, that we might take to heart, and with the help of your Spirit, use this spiritual vaccine that you have provided for us. Thank you, Father, for the blessings of this your day. Thank you for the blessings of the technology that we have been enabled to use. And we pray that everything that we have said and done would have been done for your glory and the advancement of your kingdom. Hear us and forgive sin. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.